Hello and welcome to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. Thank you for joining me today. It is 10 a.m. Pacific time on Tuesday, February 24th, 2026. I'm just really happy to be here today. I'm happy to talk to you. I'm excited about the lesson. And, it's the last week of it. I mean, February is a short month and goes pretty fast anyway, but, we're in it. We're it. We got a few more days. We got five more days. And tomorrow is my granddaughter Quinn's ninth birthday. It's just so hard to believe she's 9 years old. Of course, she acts like she's about 23, but she's only nine. And she's just, you know, she's growing up so fast and she's so smart and very, very athletic. And, she's just a really good kid, and she's good with her little brother and sister, and she's really tight with Beau, her little brother, who, when he came along, I remember the first little video that they sent me, the little picture with Quinn holding him, saying, I love my baby brother, and then when she realized that he was staying, you know, he wasn't going to go anywhere, he wasn't a novelty, things changed. But they're really close now. And she and Maisie, my granddaughter, Beau's five, Maisie's four, Quinn's nine. The two of them get into it like nobody's business. And Maisie instigates it. Well, they both instigate it. But it's just funny to watch family dynamics, isn't it? It really is. And it reminds me of, you know, when my brother and I were kids and we would get into tussles and stuff. But really and truly, she's a good helper, I think, to her parents, especially to her dad, because he lets her, she and her dad, my son, Jared, have a different relationship because he has different boundaries and he sticks to them. And so all the kids are, they mind him and they are pretty well behaved when they're hanging out with him. And he's not mean. Although Quinn told him when he was here and they were the three of them, Kristen had all three of them and they were going to go on a trip someplace. And he came back because my mom was sick. So she's on FaceTime with him and she goes, Dad, these babies are just acting up all the time. And she says, you need to come back here because you're mean. And it was so funny. After that, we're driving in the car. And Jared said to me, he goes, am I mean? I said, no, you have rules. And that's a good thing. Kids need rules. And so, and their mom, I mean, Kristen's wonderful with the kids. She's a wonderful mom. But it's just different. So they get both sides of it, and they know how to play both sides of it, which is really interesting and really fun to watch, actually, when you're not in it. But I get these pictures. I'm sure if you have MSN or a PC, MSN sends me these, you know, memories from this day. Well, a couple of days ago, it was one of Quinn's birthday parties, so like four little pictures of one of Quinn's early birthday parties. And I mean, before the other two came along, they threw outrageous parties for her with, you know, for adults and kids, bunch of kids. And the theme of the first couple of them, I think, was Frozen, the movie Frozen and Princess Elsa. And they decorated the house. They went out and rented decorations for, you know, for the party. And it was just decorated to the hilt. And Jared and Kristen were dressed in costume as the other sister. I can't remember what her name is. And the Forester guy, the hero guy from the movie. And of course, Quinn was in her little princess dress. And I don't know how old she was in this one. Might have been three, but I think she was younger. My favorite picture from that party was of all the little kids. And I mean, there were babies and kids her age and parents all in the living room. Quinn was asleep on the couch with these little kids around her. So I just love that picture. It's just priceless. You know, birthday parties are exhausting. I'm sure all the lead up to the birthday party is what exhausted her. But they're doing her birthday party next week at a skating rink, and she's going to have 9 of her friends. So that's much more controllable, I think. And I think, you know, obviously you have 3 kids now. You learn to cut corners and still have great parties, because I know it'll be a lot of fun. But anyway, that was just an aside. But a picture of Quinn sleeping on the couch with all these little kids around her. It was priceless. Reminded me of like Sleeping Beauty or something. Anyway, thank you. You're listening to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. This show is live on 12radio.com and streaming on YouTube. If you'd like to join the chat, just go to 12radio.com, click chat, and then you can click the YouTube link posted under my banner. You can also subscribe to my YouTube channel at www.youtube.com/@KellyW1850. I don't do readings on the show, but because I can't multitask, I can't teach and watch the chat room at the same time. I just can't. It's beyond my scope. It just is beyond my scope. So I don't do readings on the show, but if you would like a reading or a healing from me or anything else, you can find me every day on 12listen.com. I'm usually available later morning by noon into the evening, Pacific time, noon Pacific into the evening. If you don't see me or if I happen to be on another call, just schedule a call or put in a call back request. I'm notified immediately via text and I will get back to you as soon as I possibly can. And I'll always do my best to meet your schedule for a scheduled call. Always. We do have reduced rates on calls and chats a few times a week on 12listen, typically Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, and the 12th of each month or some big major astrological thing. But if you want to be notified of our specials, just go to 12listen.com and sign up for 12 promotions, and that just means you leave your email address. While you're there, post what you're grateful for on the gratitude board. That gratitude board is another way that we can support you by adding our attention to your intentions. If you're posting something that you are manifesting, you still, gratitude is a powerful vibration, a powerful attractive vibration. The more that you're grateful for, the more that you notice in your day-to-day, moment-to-moment existence to be grateful for, it's an interesting thing. Because the more you're grateful for, the more you have to be grateful for. So it just attracts. It just attracts. So post on the gratitude board. As I said, it's another way for us to support you. My 12 list, my Available for Love 15-minute time-based session will be available for the rest of this month. And then I'm going to switch into a Get Ready for Spring. Oh my goodness, it's spring already. And that'll be up next week. But thank you again for listening, however and whenever you do. There is programming on 12 Radio 24/7, and there are archives of all of the shows from all of the hosts in the on-demand section at 12radio.com. You can download them anytime you want. And, you know, if you need inspiration, if you just want a different voice, a different passion, different information coming through a different source, please take advantage. Please take advantage. And right now, I just want to say thanks to Serena for producing my show and for all she does for us on 12 Radio. And let's move into the teaching segment, because I've got a lot to talk about, by listening to a few minutes of a song called Souls on Earth by Zingaya from the World Groove Volume 1 CD and Sequoia Records. Enjoy it, and I'll be back right after. You're listening to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. I'm glad you're here. Thank you. Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed our musical segue. Just that bridge between announcements and silly stories to the teaching segment. Today I'm going to continue sharing the wisdom of different wise men today, no women included today, using the four agreements as topics. So, you know, if you haven't heard the past couple of shows, I listened to and read The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz and The Fifth Agreement by him and his son, Don Jose Ruiz. And just was really lit up because it came through the Toltec. What do I want to say? Influence or philosophy? Philosophy, that's the word. And I'd never heard anything from that philosophy before. And so it was, you know, different words, different ways to talk about things that are just very powerful spiritual concepts and that have been spiritual concepts and have been taught forever. Well, of course, spiritual concepts are spiritual concepts. They're eternal. But they've been taught forever. Only, as I said, I was familiar with different words, different ways, and personally, different realizations. So, but that all comes down to truth is truth. And truth is, we're all one. We're all one. God is. Period. There is no other. Therefore, we and God are the same. And so, truth is truth. That's truth. And I love sharing it through the perceptions of different teachers because different voices hit us differently. They just do because we all come from different places. We're all in a different part of our evolution and we're all in different evolutions, period. So last week, I talked about programming, you know, those things, those beliefs that we take on as children and then we take them on all through our lives, really, depending on our circumstances. We're different people. We take on different beliefs and programs when we're from the time we're babies, from our parents and people in authority over us, to the time we're teenagers. We have different influences, right? And then as we're young adults, when we enter the workforce or we go to school, or, you know, when we become parents, when we get married, all of those things, all of those life events carry agreements. Ruiz calls them agreements. And agreements are what we believe. You know, when we cannot believe anything, we can't experience anything unless we agree to it. And that was the first part that really lit me up when I started reading the four agreements. Absolutely, it makes perfect sense. And we do accept agreements. We agree to them. We accept those beliefs. And when we're very young, we don't have a choice. You know, the people that put us to bed, that feed us, that, you know, take care of us, why would they tell us anything other than what was truth? So, you know, we just take those on and they become our standards, our rules, our standards, you know, that we live by, rules that we live by. And we think they're truth and they are not because they come through human consciousness. And our parents, people in authority of us, taught us what they knew, what they were given. And it's all contained in the human consciousness, in the psychic sea that we navigate through every day as long as we are in a physical body here on the earth plane. We can't get away from it. It is what it is. But what we can do is we can realize that anything that is limiting, anything that you know, lack, fear, limitation, restriction, sin, sickness, death, illusion, smallness, inferiority, superiority, victimhood, martyrdom, all of those things, guilt, shame, remorse, regret, all of those things are not truth. And they are not the truth of our being, because our being is God. And there is no condemnation in God, none. But those are the things that come as a result of living by those rules and agreements and our influences. So That's the bottom line. If we realize that how we perceive things is through those influences because we can't perceive them any other way, then we can be more neutral, more detached. We can see things for what they are. We can not jump to conclusions, you know, not judge someone before they open their mouth because they remind you of somebody else, you know, or not be afraid of someone or some situation because something happened to you at some point. I mean, this is a present moment. There is nothing that exists, aside from right here, right now. And it's perfect. We just rarely spend time in it. But anyway, back to what I want to talk about. Well, that is what I want to talk about. But last week, after talking about programming and agreements, we talked about the first agreement in the four agreements, the book by Don Miguel Ruiz, which was be impeccable with your word, and just talked about the power of the word and how really, truly powerful, you know, in the word is the power of life or death. I mean, it really is. And that sounds dramatic, but, you know, what we give our words to, we give our energy to. And so it was a good show. It was a good information. So it's on YouTube. It's in the archives at 1-2 Radio too. But today we're going to take the second, don't take anything personally, as our topic, which is nothing is personal. So I'm going to start with Ruiz. He wrote, whatever happens around you, don't take it personally. Nothing other people do is because of you. It's because of themselves. All people live in their own dream, in their own mind. They are in a completely different world from the one we live in. Of course, Neville said, there are as many worlds as there are people to perceive them. Of course there are. Of course there are, right? Even when a situation seems so personal, even if others insult you directly, it has nothing to do with you. What they say, what they do, and the opinions they give are according to the agreements they have in their own minds. Their point of view comes from all the programming they received during domestication. When you take things personally, then you feel offended, and your reaction is to defend your beliefs and create conflicts. You make something big out of something so little, because you have the need to be right and make everybody else wrong. You also try hard to be right by giving them your own opinions. In the same way, whatever you feel and do is just a projection of your own personal dream, a reflection of your own agreements. Well, another thing that Ruiz talks about is when we get so caught up in our agreements, and I'm really paraphrasing here. I'm not verbatim, but he talks about, you know, heaven and hell are within us. That's the truth. Heaven and hell are within us. There's no external heaven. There's no external hell. There aren't. There's just God. And so when we are away from our truth, when we're in our agreements, when we're in our erroneous belief, in fear, in lack, in, you know, whatever that is. Sorry, I'm going to move my microphone a little bit. In fear or lack or worry. When you're in a worry spin, that's hell. It is. When you're in an emotion that you can't shake, or remembering a conversation that you're agitated about or hurt by, that is hell. And it is. That is hell. When we get past those things, when we are more in our truth, you know, practicing the presence, realizing that everything outside of us is an effect. It is an effect of our consciousness. And it's up to us. Only we can change our own consciousness. And we're closer and feeling that movement of spirit within us, connected to that, making that connection constantly. That's heaven. When we're free, when we're not worrying, when we've sacrificed or given away or surrendered, whatever your word is. I like the word sacrifice because, again, that the references is the chapter in the Bhagavad Gita on karma yoga. And anyway, I'm not going to go into that, but just giving it away to God, whatever it is you're feeling, giving it away to God, because it cannot exist in God. It's like casting the burden. You know, Florence Scovel Shen, I cast the burden of whatever this pain is, whatever this suffering is, whatever has me by the throat emotionally, or mentally, or, you know, even physically. I cast the burden of whatever it is on the Christ within, the God self within, the infinite God mind, and I go free. And you do go free, because anything less than perfection cannot exist in that infinite God mind, the Christ within. That's perfection. That's the fourth dimension. We're here in the third. Anyway, so thinking about just heaven and hell and how we can get caught up in our own minds, you know, and tied up in just erroneous thought that just takes us for a ride. And thinking of Ruiz talking about that as hell brought Joseph Campbell's description of hell to mind. And I talked about this several weeks ago. But he said, being fixed to the temporal commitments that ego decided was the great thing for your life becomes your hell. This view is shared by Buddhist, Hindu, and other Eastern philosophies. Hell is the place of being fixed. Hell is symbolic of the state of a soul that does not open to the spiritual, but remains stuck, the material aspect, in the foreground of the experience, but doesn't break through. I think that's fantastic. That's a perfect description. It's being stuck with what your ego wants, what you want outside of you that isn't cooperating. That's hell. That makes perfect sense. And that's a good thing to just kind of like tuck back in your consciousness if you want to. But also, talking about the ego, taking things personally is all about ego. It's ego. What else is going to take things personally but your personality, which is your ego? And ego is a construct, right? Stuart Wilde said, negative energy or conditions is only a contradiction to the ego's opinions. It's another good one to keep in mind. What Ruiz calls agreements and programming can also be called influences and filters. And they are the building blocks of the ego. We perceive everything through them. Everything in the material world, everything we encounter, we perceive through our influences and filters. They are the human mind, the basis of human consciousness, and they are not truth. So first, you know, I've talked about a bunch of other things. So now, I want to talk about the role of the human mind, and I'm going to use Joel Goldsmith's teaching to do that. Joel, my teacher, my guru, said that the mind is an interpreter, an avenue of awareness, a translator, so to speak, of spiritual creation. God is the substance of everything there is. Give up all concern for form and attain the conscious awareness of God as the substance of the reality of our being. God is. I am. That covers it all. There is no material creation, just a material sense of spiritual creation and of God. The entire universe is embedded in your consciousness. The universe as form is an activity of consciousness, the interpretation of the mind. The mind interprets based on four influences: prenatal influence, early environment, education, and personal experience. These influences make up who we are as humans. They are our filters, and they compel us to see things as we do. The physical consists of spiritual emanations of God, but the mind interprets the physical through those influences. So we never truly see what's before us. Those influences, also known as, I'm interjecting, the associative mind or ego. Mind forms and governs itself as the form that we call matter. Mind appears to us as the finite form which it forms. But this is God's universe. All that's in heaven is on earth, but it's perceived through our influences, and the instrument of the mind and forms take on the background of the mind perceiving them. Forms take on the background of the mind perceiving them. And the background of the mind, and I'm interjecting, the background of the mind perceiving them is our influences, our agreements, what we believe, our programming. So with that awareness and the awareness of the kingdom of heaven within us, we can wait on spirit for inspiration and let it flow through the mind into the physical. Supply is not divisible, it is infinite. If we could stop entertaining false concepts of good and bad, which again go back to our human influences, and stop judging people and experiences, the mind would bring all good to us. The mind unaffected by human influences is pure light and knowledge, and its appearances or forms from being unaffected by human influences will conform more purely to its pure form. Now that's from two different videos, YouTube videos, two different tapes. Spiritual Life Revealed, which is tape 182B, and Substance of Prosperity, which is 602A. Neville said, everyone that comes into our lives comes to show us who we are. But keeping in mind that we are all continuously acting according to our influences, everyone who comes into our lives can only show us who they are. But our reaction or our response to them shows us who we are, if we're paying attention. Because we take what they do and say personally, and then we begin defending ourselves. But instead of defending, if we can just look at our reactions and responses and know that they come from our influences, we're in the driver's seat. We're in the driver's seat. We don't have to react. We don't have to react, no matter what, no matter how twingy that twinge feels because so-and-so said something to you. It's not true. It's not true. It's the ego kicking up because it's as Stuart said, its opinions have been contradicted, right? So our influences, we can think of it in terms of our influences were what they were. Keyword, were. They're not in present time. They're not creative. They're information, erroneous information that we took on as fact. But we are where we are, which is now. Now. So when something comes to us, we're not victims of our influences. We're not. There's no innocent victim here. We can realize that we don't have to react. You know, that the thing that is kicking up is just our ego going, well, what are you going to do about that? You know, to us. Well, so-and-so said this to you. What are you going to do about it? You could say this, 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 and this. You know, it's the same thing. If we don't say anything, or if we do, then hours later, we're still having that same conversation over and over and over in our head, thinking, well, I should have said this, or I should have said that, or, you know, I mean, it takes us down the rabbit hole. That's the other thing that taking things personally does to us. It doesn't end there. It doesn't end there, no matter what our response is. It keeps holding on because I think because we know from the place of our truth and who we are that however we respond and react or in defending ourselves is not true. So I think some of the reason, part of the reason we go over and over and over them is because we're trying to justify our response. We're trying to justify defending ourselves. So we're trying to pull all that stuff up so we feel better. It's a sticky web. It is a sticky web. And the more, you know, the more you think about it, it's like, it's just like no action isn't an action of itself. It's not a thing, a done thing in and of itself. There's always an equal and opposite reaction. And that's what we experience. You know, it just never just ends with that. Nothing is ever just done. There's more to it. There's more to it because there has to be. But if we choose, we can choose not to act on them or respond according to them. It just takes awareness and it takes taking a step back, taking a breath before we respond. You know, using neutrality, seeing things in black and white rather than from the emotional standpoint. Acceptance, moving on to a different aspect of this. This is just a journey. This is a journey in not only what causes us to take things personally, but what we can do to change taking things personally. You know, how to not take things personally. So acceptance is a big, big player in not taking things personally. Aside from what people may say or do, we struggle against circumstances and situations. In Colorado, and I think we're not the only state, but we've been, and this is, here's a personal testimony here. We've been experiencing a very mild and dry winter. It's been windy, so there are fire warnings as well. In fact, there's one today. And that, for me personally, that brought up a lot of fear. Not only because I don't want the forest to burn down, but also because I was very attached to the living things in my yard and garden. And if there's a shortage of water, we'll have water restrictions. So, in effect, I was taking the wind and weather personally. I was. We can take things, situations, circumstances, personally. If we didn't take them personally, we wouldn't react to them, right? We wouldn't react to them. We wouldn't want to change them if we didn't take them personally. So, for me, every spring and summer, I took whatever grew or did not grow in my garden personally. I took Japanese beetles and my Virginia creeper personally. And I suffered for that. I mean, it just really tormented me, quite honestly. Silly. And it sounds silly. I'm laughing as I'm saying this. But honestly, attachment to an outcome will do that to you, right? When we think we know how things should be, when we are certain we know how things should be, then we're attached to an outcome and we're rigid. So anything that bumps up against that outcome, we take personally. And attachment to outcomes is another cause, obviously, of taking things personally. Finally, it was about a month or so ago, we were having very, very windy weather, and I just finally sacrificed all of that attachment and suffering and accepted the fact that I can't make it rain or snow. I can't stop the wind. And so, you know, I'm struggling and suffering, again, because I can't change anything, which is why we struggle and suffer, because we're trying to change something outside of us rather than accepting it. And I just relinquished all power, control, and responsibility for it, for the weather, for the yard, for everything, to the big E, everything, the infinite God mind. And I was free because I actually did sacrifice it. I let it go. I can't do anything about this. And what was interesting, it put me in the space of I wonder what'll happen. You know, I wonder how this spring and summer is going to be. I could be in that place of just waiting to find out, you know, not worrying about it, not suffering because I wanted it to be a certain way. And it was a wonderful feeling. And I'm still there. I mean, it was a healing. That's the truth of it. It was a healing. And peace comes from accepting the fact that I couldn't change anyone or anything outside of me. And God can handle all of that without my interference. Peace, not just freedom, but peace comes from that. Rest, you know, resting in that God mind. In the 7 Spiritual Laws of Success, Deepak Chopra wrote about the law of least effort. He wrote, "The 4th spiritual law of success is the law of least effort. It is the law based on the fact that nature's intelligence functions with effortless ease and abandoned carefreeness. This is the principle of least action, of no resistance. This is therefore the principle of harmony and love. There are 3 components to the law of least effort. The first component is acceptance. Acceptance simply means that you make a commitment. Today I will accept people, situations, circumstances, and events as they occur. This means I will know that this moment is as it should be, because the whole universe is as it should be. This moment, the one you're experiencing right now, is the culmination of all the moments you've experienced in the past. This moment is as it is because the entire universe is as it is. When you struggle against this moment, you're actually struggling against the entire universe. Instead, you can make the decision that today you will not struggle against the entire universe by struggling against this moment. This means that your acceptance of this moment is total and complete. You accept things as they are, not as you wish they were. In this moment, when you feel frustrated or upset by a person or a situation, remember that you're not reacting to the person or the situation, but to your feelings about the person or the situation. These are your feelings, and your feelings are not someone else's fault. When you recognize and understand this completely, you're ready to take responsibility for how you feel and to change it. The second component of the law of least effort is responsibility. Responsibility means not blaming anyone or anything for your situation, including yourself. Having accepted this circumstance, this event, this problem, responsibility then means the ability to have a creative response to the situation as it is now. All problems contain the seeds of opportunity. And this awareness allows you to take the moment and transform it to a better situation or thing. Whenever confronted by a tyrant, tormentor, teacher, friend, or foe, they all mean the same thing, remind yourself, this moment is as it should be. Whatever relationships you've attracted to your life at this moment are precisely the ones you need in your life at this moment. There's a hidden meaning behind all events, and this hidden meaning is serving your own evolution. The third component is defenselessness, which means that your awareness is established in defenselessness, and you have relinquished the need to convince or persuade others of your point of view. If you observe people around you, you'll see that they spend 99% of their time defending their points of view. If you just relinquish the need to defend your point of view, you will, in that relinquishment, gain access to enormous amounts of energy that have been previously wasted. When you become defensive, blame others, and do not accept and surrender to the moment, your life meets resistance. Anytime you encounter resistance, recognize that if you force the situation, the resistance will only increase. Completely desist from defending your point of view. When you have no point to defend, you do not allow the birth of an argument. And that was Deepak Chopra, Seven Spiritual Laws of Success. And I haven't been back to that book in a while, so that was a treat. So now, for the last part of this, I want to share more from Stu and the Infinite Self, 33 Steps to Reclaiming Your Inner Power. So step 13 is acceptance. And isn't it interesting? I just have to say, you know, everything is a circle. Truth is truth. And, you know, I taught about acceptance on several shows from Alan Watts' teachings and his books. And it's just, you know, every single acceptance is freedom. It's freedom. And it's just so lovely, which is why I love sharing all these teachers that are important teachers to me with you, because they're all saying the same thing. You know, just accept. It's like Stuart was saying, you know, realize, and this is not, I'm going to share what he says on this topic, but in one part of the book and the Audible tape, he said, you know, there's no fight worth having. There's no fight worth having. And you are eternal. That's the truth of it. You are eternal. Right now you're occupying this, and I'm paraphrasing big time, you're occupying this body. You're in this life. This is your dream. This is what's happening. This is the infinite self having an adventure in this physical plane as you, with your family, at your work, with your friends, with your animals, with your home. It's an adventure. But the truth of who we are, that which is having the adventure, is God, and that is us. That is the I am. All this stuff out here, again, are results of what we think, our consciousness. But God being the witness, so to speak, being totally subjective, experiences this world by objectifying. You know, we as a human body and this earth and everything that we see around us was objectified by God, by Source, so that God could have this adventure called you, me, and whatever we're up to. But that, you know, he said, so you're eternal. So if somebody comes up to you and points a gun at you and says, I'm going to kill you, he says, you can say, go for it. I'm eternal. You know, I don't care what you do to me. And coming from that place too, that this is just what I, the big I, the infinite self, is doing at this moment. That's another really good and powerful thing to have in the back of your consciousness. This is not life and death. We can't die. We can't die. Even if it is life and death. Even if it is a sick or failing body. Not you. This is your house. You're going to leave that house. You go on to bigger and better things, other things. Because it never stops. You know, we are infinite life. Infinite life, and life just wants to become more of itself in and through and as us in another form. So anyway, that was a bit of an aside, but that is a good thing to keep in mind when we are getting caught up in what so-and-so said to me, or what this circumstance is, or it's not raining, it's not snowing, or whatever your circumstance is. It's not you. It's not you. It's part of the play. It's part of the dream. So anyway, in step 13 called Acceptance in the Infinite Self, Stuart Wilde's book, he wrote, now I want you to develop a real individual spiritual evolution by stepping away from resistance, away from the binding conformity of TikTok and the tribal mind. This is a continuation of the process of disengaging from emotion. Because of the ego, tribal mind, or also known as human consciousness, and filters and influences. Because of the ego, the tribal mind is always uncomfortable. People achieve momentary happiness, but they don't experience the permanent ecstasy of the God force inside them. They can't feel it. Instead, they consider happiness the act of gratifying the ego. So they indulge themselves, relentlessly feeding themselves with circumstances and things that will keep them happy. What fleeting happiness they may achieve by gratification is soon destroyed, for the ego's discomfort comes from insecurity. The ego's discomfort comes from insecurity. Giving it things doesn't make it feel secure, it only distracts it. To transcend to the graceful beauty of the infinite self requires you to take responsibility for yourself. Once you do, you'll see that the pain you suffer comes from your reaction to life circumstances, not from the circumstances themselves. By changing the way you react, you enter into a spiritual appreciation of life and a beauty and contentment that is not available in the world of the ego. Start by seeing this place, this earth, this life as beautiful, and see yourself as beautiful. Know and trust that all is well with the world. The current state of societies and our humanity is an outcropping of our eternal evolution as spiritual beings. We have only come so far, and the way the evolution is at this time is the way it's supposed to be. It's silly to say it ought to be different. It isn't. Know and trust that all is well with you. Be satisfied where you find yourself, and be satisfied with yourself. So acceptance comes as a result of disengaging from the common emotion and understanding you are not your emotions, and neither are you responsible for other people's emotions. When they express anger, fear, and frustration, that's just the reaction of the frailty of the ego. When you stop fighting yourself, when you can accept that the way it is the way it is, you're free. Say to yourself 100 times a day, the way it is the way it is, and I accept that. You see, you don't need perfection, just progress. Everything can be gradually changed for the better. Meanwhile, it is the way it is. Once you can come out of acceptance, you're free, completely free, because you're no longer in the emotion, fighting with yourself. The fact is, once you understand the way it is the way it is, you don't have to fight circumstances. You can work on changing things instead. And you don't need to burn energy on resisting. Be humble, and in any given circumstance that causes you to react, buy the solution, not the emotion. But first, accept the situation. The point to remember is you can never be free until you disengage. So allow life to flow as you find it. And on that note, we're at the end of the show, but I think this has been a lovely journey of learning how not to take things personally. I hope you found it valuable. I wish you a very, very blessed week. I'm Kelly Whetstone. You've been listening to Empowerment. We're here on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way you listen to the world. Please stay tuned for Katie Weaver. Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.